And thank you for joining us today in downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message from our pastor, Gary Washburn.
Has anyone here ever seen an angel? It's not that uncommon. Raise your hand again. Those of you, okay. One, two, three. Okay. Interesting. Angels are created by God to minister to us. We're not to worship them. We're not to seek after them. They're very real. They work in the invisible realm 99% of the time because that's the way God wants them to work. But they're very real. There are angels here in this room this very moment. There are angels with you as believers when you leave. You have angels assigned to you. You really do. And God may one day permit you to see one, but he may not. Angels have appeared in human form. Remember, Abraham had three men approach him in human form, and later on he realized that they were angels. Well, actually, one was the Lord. I think it's probably Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Jacob wrestled with an angel. First, he thought it was a man. Joshua was faced with a warrior that later on he learned was an angel. I remember at Baptist Church when we were having a real revival, not just meetings you call revival. We were actually experiencing revival. And I remember one particular fella. I was looking for you, Quentin. You remember him. He came in every night at evening service. He wouldn't come in the morning. He came in the evening service. And he came probably about half drunk most of the time. And he came and he would sit on the back seat. So anybody sitting on the back seat drinking tonight, I want to see if you... He'd sit on the back seat. One particular night, he saw in the spirit for a moment, and it shook the daylights out of him. It scared him. And he's talking to the ushers. He was talking to Quentin. And then later they came and got me, and I talked to him. And he was shaking nervous. He sobered up real quick. He said, "I don't know what kind of church this is." But I don't remember if he said it was an angel, but he saw what he saw was angels that manifested somehow in the atmosphere, and he saw it, and it shocked him. So here's a guy who wasn't looking for angels, and he saw them. So you shouldn't go looking for them. If they manifest, they just manifest for a reason. We don't know why this guy happened to see it. Nobody else particularly saw it. I remember another occasion here in this building one time that some little children came up first while the worship was going on. And by the way, angels are activated by worship. That's one of the ways angels, they really get excited when we worship, really worship. Not when we just sing, but when we worship. There's a difference between praise and worship, you understand? Worship involves, boy, that's the spirit. The spirit is leading you and you are worshiping God. And angels are activated by worship. And anyway, there were some children that came up during the service, and they told Pam and I that they were kind of startled and yet excited. They said they saw angels appear in the atmosphere, you know. And we don't know what to do with that. We just, wow, thank you, you know. And that same service, and when the service was over, there were two other adults, two separate adults, not together, came up to us at two separate occasions at the end of the service and said, "Today, I had never seen anything like this before in my life, but I saw angels today." And that just confirmed that what the children saw was not just their imagination. There are angels among us. Not that we get focused and fascinated with angels. There's all kinds of angels. There's seraphim angels around the, they're called burning ones that are around the throne of God. And they're described by Isaiah. They got eyes on the top of their head and wings and they're aflame. And there's seraph, and there's cherubim angels. You know, you think of little cherubs as like the little baby and with the arrow and like a cupid, but it's not really that cherub. There are cherubim angels are really warrior angels. They're not little babies, okay, like on the Hallmark cards. Almost every time when an angel appeared, it appeared with Daniel and appeared with people in the Bible. Almost every time when the angel manifested as an angel, they had to say immediately, "Fear not," because it was such a frightful sight that you could have died for seeing them. And so angels are very real, but they 99% of the time operate in the invisible realm because that's the way God wants them to operate. And they operate behind the scenes to help us. In the Bible, there's one particular story I love that Israel was at war with Syria, and the Syrian army was a much greater army than the Israeli army. I mean, they outnumbered them, and they out-militaried them. They had greater equipment and all this kind of stuff. And they would, the Syrian generals would get together, and they would plan how they're going to attack Israel. And then when they went to carry out the plan, when they got to the place where they thought Israel was going to be, they weren't there. Even though they'd sent spies, and they were there the day before. And this happened over and over and over again. And the Syrian king heard about this, and he was getting frustrated. He was convinced there had to be a spy among his generals. So he called them together. And he said, "Now, which one of you are the spy? I'm going to find out. You better confess." And one of them spoke up and said, "Your Majesty, this is going to sound like it's way off, but there's nobody here that's a spy. There's a man in Israel. His name is Elijah. He's a prophet. And he is such a powerful prophet, he can hear what you're talking about in your bedchamber." Now, that's just figure of speech. He wasn't listening to his in his bedchamber. But he's saying he is such a powerful and sensitive prophet of Yahweh that he can hear what you're saying even in your bedroom. He said, "You're kidding. You really believe?" He said, "Yes. We know it's true. We've heard about him." And he said, "I'll tell you what we're going to do. Well, we're going to arrest this guy." So he sent a whole battalion of Syrian soldiers to the city of Dothan, not Alabama, and to the city of Dothan where Elijah lived, and said, "I want you to capture this guy and bring him to me." So the Syrian army goes out and they surround the city of Dothan, particularly the house of Elijah. Elijah's servant gets up early in the morning, goes outside, takes a deep breath, looks around, and he sees the Syrian army, chariots, horsemen, warriors, probably at least 1,000 of them, all around Elijah's house. And he runs back inside to the house to Elijah and says, "Quick, we're surrounded. The whole Syrian army is here. They've come to get us. What are we going to do? What are we going to do?" What would you have done? What would you have done? Call 911. Well, here's a very powerful truth that we all need to catch. It's in the Bible for you to catch this. Without any panic whatsoever, Elijah said this to his servant. He said, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." No panic whatsoever. There's more for us, more with us than with them. Now, before the servant could say, "Are you crazy? I mean, I can see that with my own eyes. There's 1,000 Syrian soldiers." Before he could say a thing, Elijah prayed a simple prayer. It's recorded in the Bible for us. And he prayed this prayer: "Lord, I pray that you may open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened his eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, why is this in the Bible, and why are we talking about this on Wednesday night? Because you have at your disposal supernatural protection that you most of the time are not aware of. You have angels. You have angelic protection that's with you most of the time. You're just not even aware. You're not even thinking about it. And here, this young servant, what he saw a moment ago in the natural caused him to panic. It was overwhelming. 1,000 Syrian soldiers. Formidable. There's no way. But then immediately when he saw in the spirit, everything changed. That 1,000 Syrian soldiers looked dwarfed compared to all of God's angels around him. Now, that's why we're on Psalm 91. You're supposed to be meditating on Psalm 91 throughout the week. You know, taking a verse like we're going over, writing it out on a 3x5 card and keeping it with you and thinking about it. Look at it before you go to, quote it before you go to bed at night. Speak it to yourself. Turn it into a prayer, personalize it. Because Psalm 91 is setting you up for supernatural protection when you need it. And so if you hide this word in your heart, it'll come out automatically when you're in a crisis, in a moment where you don't have a chance to go grab a Bible or look up something. It'll be in your heart. We're learning that Psalm 91 is talking about believers living fearless in a very dangerous world. Do you believe that's possible? Believers are supposed to believe, aren't they? Well, tonight we're going to look at two verses, just two. And you should write these two verses out on something and keep it before you and meditate on it this week. Here they are, Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Now, you say it this time, okay? Come on, say it with me. For he shall. Think about this for a moment. Now, really think about this. Why, when the servant went outside and Elijah went outside and the servant was panicking because he saw all the Syrian forces, why did he panic and why did Elijah not panic? Is all based on what he saw. They saw two different things. If you have trouble with fear, I mean, if fear is something that really comes and attacks your life quite a bit, at nighttime or whatever, you're dealing with a spirit of fear that seems to attack you, or you just seem to be kind of a fearful person that just seems to be your kind of makeup, then particularly you need to meditate on the story that I just talked to you about found in Kings, and you need to meditate on Psalm 91. Maybe you're not surrounded by Syrian soldiers right now, but you're starting to feel overwhelmed and you're starting to feel pressure and you feel like you're being surrounded by something. Maybe it's financial debt. Maybe it's the symptoms in your body making you think that you might have a terminal illness and you're starting to be surrounded. Maybe it's you're concerned about your children because they're not living like they ought to be living. And so now you're concerned about them and you're starting to worry and you wake up in the middle of the night and your heart's palpitating and you're kind of concerned about where your children are and or whatever. And then you got to realize you're being surrounded. And then you got to say to yourself what's true in the scriptures. What Elijah said. Well, there's more for us than there are against us. You got to believe that. See, if you're going to live by just what you can see, you are going to get crushed. Do you see what the Bible says versus what you see in the natural? It's written in the Word so that you don't have to see it with your natural eyes. You see it by faith. The Bible says this, no weapon formed against us. You believe that? You see it. It's there. You're to take it out and use it and speak it. When the enemy comes at you, when you start to feel overwhelmed or when you start to worry, you need to speak these things out into the atmosphere. That's you fighting back against the enemy. I don't know if you know this, but there are many different compound names for God. Compound, meaning he puts things together, like Jehovah Tsidkenu. Jehovah means Lord. Many times the Bible, where the Bible translates the word Lord, it's the word Jehovah or Yahweh. But a compound name is when someone has discovered something about God, like when Abraham was about to sacrifice his son Isaac, and God said, don't do it, and immediately he sent the ram. And then Abraham learned something about God he didn't know. He said, he is the Lord who sees ahead and makes provision. He is Jehovah Jireh, compound name. He's putting the names together. The Lord who provides. The Lord who is our healer, Jehovah Rapha. The Lord who is our shepherd, Jehovah Rohi. Those are compound names. There's a compound name you don't hear very often, but it's mentioned 260 times in the scriptures. And it's this name right here. Lord or Jehovah Sabaoth. Looks like Sabbath, but it's Sabaoth. And it means the God of angels' armies. He is the Lord. He is the God of angels' armies. So there's a whole host of an angelic army, and this is the Lord Sabaoth. It's mentioned over 260 times. So what difference does that make to me? When you're overwhelmed by something, when the enemy seems to be coming in like a flood, when the arrows are flying at you, when you start to get afraid because you think there's more of them against you than more of them that are for you, you need to learn to call upon the Lord Sabaoth, his compound name. He is the God of angels' armies. He will send angels to rescue you. He will send angels to strengthen you. He will send angels to surround you. They will encamp around you and protect you in the midst of battle. Amen. 260 times it's mentioned. Psalm 91 says, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Why? Come on, say it with me. That's why. No evil's going to come to you. No plague's going to come to you. Why? He's going to give his angels charge over you. He's going to give his angels charge of you to keep you in all of his ways. This is what's protecting us. And we don't even know it. God sends his angels, his angelic army, to surround us and protect us. Oh, that we had eyes to see this. How many times have you had supernatural protection and not even aware of it? You were at the intersection driving, and you were just about to pull out, but something inside you said, no, just wait a minute. And had you pulled out when you normally would have pulled out, this car running the red light or a truck running through the intersection, just barreled through there, you would have been mashed potatoes. Amen. That's not a coincidence. No. Only stupid people believe in coincidence. My wife tells me, don't say stupid in the pulpit. Only ignorant people believe in coincidence. No, no, that's angelic protection. You may not see it. You didn't see any angel feathers. You didn't feel anything. But that was God sending supernatural protection on your life. It's not a coincidence. A few years ago, my son-in-law and my daughter and my seven grandchildren were in a van when they lived here in town. They were down on 441, and they were driving somewhere, and a car ran a red light and ran right into the almost like the front end of their car, almost like a head-on collision, and airbags go off. I mean, it was a horrible accident, and you know, the police came, ambulances came, by the grace of God, nobody got hurt. And the guy who was behind Sarah and Ken's car, truck, van, and saw this whole thing, pulled off the side of the road. He runs up to them and said, "You okay? You okay?" Expecting somebody to be hurt. And everybody's fine. They all got out. And he said these words. He said, "You had an angel protecting you." And I don't think that was just a figure of speech. I think the words that came out of his mouth were validating the fact that they did have angelic protection. Psalm 91 protection. No one was hurt. Why? He will give his angels charge over you. That's why. That's not a coincidence. Do you know that Psalm 91 verses 11 and 12 were quoted by the devil? The devil knows scripture. Probably better than a lot of you. And he quoted, the devil quoted this when Jesus was tempted. He said, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from the pinnacle of the temple, because it says he'll give his angels charge over you." And of course, Jesus responded with, "It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." The devil purposely left out a little portion. I don't know if you noticed that. He left out a little portion that says, "To keep thee in all thy ways." Do you know the Bible says, "In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil." The devil did not want to say, "To keep you in all your ways." It would be like reminding Jesus or reminding believers that our part is to acknowledge God. And then he'll direct us and he'll protect us. You got to understand something. When the Bible says God will send angels to keep charge over you, he is not encouraging us to be foolish. "Well, I got angels, so I can walk out right out here in front of the highway in front of this truck." Well, of course, that would just be dumb. That'd be tempting God. See, that's not God leading you in the way you should go. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:17, it says, "Don't be foolish. Why should you die before your time?" Very revealing. Do you know, even as a believer, you could die before your time. Is that what the Bible says? Why should you? If you're foolish, if you do something foolish, if you're taking a risk that's totally unnecessary, if you're doing something just for the pleasure of it, and you could die before your time, even as a believer. Amen. In Mark chapter 16, verse 18, it says, "If we drink any deadly poison or if we handle snakes, they're not going to harm us. But we don't have..." Well, I got a box right here. Somebody who's a believer, come on up here, please. They're snakes, but listen, they're in a box right now. You're a believer. You can handle them. There are churches that believe that. That's error. that's tempting the Lord. It's not saying that you can go up there and grab a snake and it ain't going to bother you, and you can drink poison. And no, it's saying if you're going about your life and some of those things inadvertently happen to you, you still live under supernatural protection. Paul was on the island of Malta, and he was just gathering some sticks, the book of Acts says, to make a fire, and he grabbed a bundle of sticks, and there was a viper in one of those, that pile of sticks, and it reached out and bit him, and the natives saw it, and they said, uh-oh, he's a goner. I mean, his arm's going to swell up in 5 minutes. He's going to be dead, because that's what normally happened. And Paul just shook that thing off and kept on going. Supernatural protection. And I'm telling you, if that happens to you, you can do the same thing. You can. It's almost like you're daring me to show you, but I'm not going to tempt the Lord to do it. But I'm telling you, when you get in that position, you have supernatural protection. You got to believe it. Activate your angels by declaring the word. God, you said you give your angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. I thank you for it. Hallelujah. I'm supernaturally protected. Now, don't be foolish. But you go to the Lord Sabaoth, the God of angels' armies. He sent angels to keep charge over me. How many of you have ever experienced a time where you felt like, you know, you were under attack of the enemy, and maybe in some way you were aware that grace was coming from God to you, where you were either supernaturally protected or you were strengthened or you were helped in some way? I was in a hunt camp several years ago, and I got on a ladder. I had a 45 automatic on my hip in a holster, and I climbed up a tall ladder on this building, and to this building. And while I was on the ladder, and as I was coming down, I must have missed one of the rungs of the ladder, and I fell. And to me, it's like I was in slow motion. I fell backward like a backflip. I mean, like this. And I got a 45 automatic loaded, one in the chamber, which you shouldn't have done on a ladder, but it's in my holster. And I rolled completely over, did a complete somersault, and landed, boom, on my feet. And the guy standing there looking at me like that, and they went, how did you do that? I was like, whoa, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I mean, I shouldn't have been up there with a gun on my hip in the first place. That was dumb. But God protected me. I mean, I should at least fell on my head or something, you know. I'm like an Olympic gymnast. Don't ask me to do that again, you know. But that happened. That was just like, wow. One time when my kids lived in Jacksonville, my youngest granddaughter, Anna, got very, very sick. With a fever, and been back and forth to emergency room, and she would just really, really eat up with fever. And her sister, one of her sisters, Julia, got up in the middle of the night, go to the bathroom, and came back, and they all share a bedroom there. And when she was coming back, she looked over and she saw a little girl. And it looked like Anna, but she said, I could tell it wasn't Anna. And she said it was kind of a bluish hue to it. And she saw it, and she immediately knew it was an angel. Now, she probably was about 8 or 9 years old at that time. And I've asked her this story many, many times. I said, how did you know? You weren't afraid? She said, no, I wasn't afraid. I instantly knew that it was Anna's angel. I said, how did you know it was Anna's angel? She said, it looked like her. It looked like her. And I said, you weren't afraid? She said, no, I just knew it was an angel. Next morning, of course, she got up and told her mom and dad, and then they told us, and now I'm telling you. So it happened. The angels manifested sometimes in a human form. Bible says that don't forget to be hospitable to strangers, because sometimes you've entertained angels and didn't even know it. You have probably had contact with people, things you thought they were people, but they were actually angels. And some of you heard this story. If you've heard it, act like you haven't heard it, okay? Humor me. Several years ago, I was down in South Florida. I went to a Signs and Wonders conference at a church. And I was listening to the speakers, and I said, man, I haven't had anything like that happen to me, these stories they told and things like that. And I was there with a worship leader from my church and a youth leader from my church, and we were there. We had a hotel room, and we spent the night, and the next morning we got up before the conference, go back to the second part of the conference, and I said, each of you go off to a certain area of the compound of the hotel there and find a place to get along with God and talk to God. And then let's come back and let's just share what we believe God's, you know, talking to us about. Well, I went out by the edge of the water. We were on the Banana River there down by Titusville. And I went out by the edge of there was a sidewalk and there were some rocks, like man-made places out there to walk on to go fish and stuff. It was early in the morning, so I walked out there on those rocks, you know, and just sat down on the rocks in the sun and had my Bible and was talking to God. And I said, God, would you, I know you're with me, but would you just come somehow make, you know, manifest yourself to me in some way? I know you're with me, but I just, all these things I'm hearing about, signs and wonders, I'm asking you to give me an experience like that. And about the time I finished saying those words out loud, just like I said right there, a voice, a man who was back on the sidewalk that I came from, hollered to me. He was saying, hey, hey, in the world. And I get up and I look back and he's waving at me. And he's a black man. He looked like Johnny, except he had solid white hair and he had a white beard. You got a little snow in your beard there, but stand up for a moment, John. I just want him to just wave at everybody. There you go. He's about his size, but he had solid white hair, solid white beard. So I walk over to him. He's talking to me, and I said, because I had my hands up, I was, you know, praying and stuff like that. I figured maybe he thought I was in distress or something. So I was walking back across the rocks to him. I said, I'm okay. I said, I'm just out here praying and talking to God. I'm not crazy. I'm just talking to God. And he smiled at me, you know, like that, big smile. And I got a little closer, and I started just having a conversation with him. I said, I'm, you know, did you want me for, yeah, I just wanted to say hello. And I said, well, I'm Gary. What's your name? And he said, my name's Emmanuel. I didn't get it really at that moment. I'm being real pastoral at that moment, you know, trying to be in charge of the conversation. And I said, oh, do you happen to know what that means? And he smiled at me. I'll never forget the smile. And he had a beautiful smile. He smiled at me and he said, oh yeah, I know what it means. And I said to him in a very pastoral way, well, it means God is with you. Did you know that? You know, dumb. He says, oh yeah, I know that. And I couldn't figure out why he called me back over. You know, I said, okay, well, you know, you have a great day. And I went back out there and I sat on the rocks and I said, now God, I'm asking you to give me a manifestation of you. I need to know that you're with me, God. I mean, I really need something. You know, I sat there for a while, and then the breeze would come across my face. I thought, well, maybe that's it. God just sent the breeze to, you know, let me have some. So I go back to the room after a little while. And we meet with my worship leader and my youth leader. I said, well, you know, how'd your devotion go? How'd you feel like God was talking to you? How'd you feel like God's talking to you? And I said, well, I was asking God to manifest, and then I, you know, and I didn't really get anything. And then this fellow came up to me, and he's, you know, he's talking to me, and he said his name was Emmanuel, and he said his name was Emmanuel. I said, Lord, I'm as dumb as a rock. I am sorry. Wow. Wow, God. Wow. And I did go back out there again looking for him. Again, I couldn't find him. And I tell you that to tell you this. You know, God doesn't always honor, oh, God, give me a sign, give me this. That's up to God to do those things. And in my ignorance, I think God in his mercy let me have that experience. I'm convinced that man was not a man but an angel. He had no reason to call me over to him. He had no reason to, and his name was Emmanuel. And I'm out here praying, oh, God, show me that you're with me. And I was stunned at that. And I don't think you should go around asking for that kind of thing. And I've never had anything like that ever again. But I just want you to know tonight that God has sent his angels to be around you. They're with you whether you ever see them or not. You may not see them as long as you live in this earth. But the moment your body drops down, what we call death here, you're still alive. Your spirit and soul immediately get angel escorts, taking you right into the presence of glory. I mean, you'll see, you won't doubt then. You might want to quit. Well, he gives his angels charge over me. Well, that'd be good, but he did it anyway, even without you seeing it. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was in the night of agony and he'd been praying, and then the troops came to arrest him. And Peter pulls out the sword and chops off the ear of the high priest. And Jesus says, put away your sword. Don't you know I could have called 12 legions of angels? Well, no, they didn't know that. But Jesus knew it. 12 legions is 80,000. Don't you know I could have said a word and 80,000 angels would have been here to protect me? Put your sword away. I have a mission to accomplish. So, no doubt, you got angels around you. You're just not aware of it most of the time. How do you activate angels? Well, you actually do activate angels. Angels are activated through worship primarily. When you really worship God, praise is different from worship. Thanking God is wonderful. Praise is wonderful, but those are steps to get you to the place of worship. When you worship, that's when the Spirit of God and your spirit take in, and you are worshiping God. You are giving the sacrifice of worship. And so it's thanksgiving and praise get you there, but you know, you have to worship. I was talking to Grayson before church today, and I was saying him what I remember a fellow told me some time ago. He said, you know, worship leader's not really in the Bible. Well, I said, well, neither are automobiles, you know. But he was trying to make a point. He says, you can't lead people to worship. You can lead people in thanks and praise with songs, but only the Spirit can lead them to worship. And, you know, when Grayson is trying to, he's come in here, he's prepared, he's prayed about the music, and he's put his heart and soul in practice, and he comes in here and he's trying to lead you to give God, to get your mind off of the world and start thanking God or praising God for who he is with these songs. And our hope is that you won't just go to praise and sing some songs and then that's it, but that you'll go on up into worship, see? And any given time can happen the first time. It doesn't even have to be with singing, but worship is primarily one of the ways that you activate angels. They're very active in worship. If we could only see in the spirit realm at that moment, when we are really worshiping, man, the angels are worshiping. Things are happening. Things are happening in worship that don't happen in the natural realm. Some breakthroughs happen when you worship. Don't you remember in the Bible that some battles were won when the army was sent out and without even firing a shot, all they did was praise God? And in the praise, the whole enemy was slaughtered. angels were activated through worship. It's powerful. The devil, that's why the devil doesn't want you to worship. He'll do anything to stop worship of God. And another way you activate angels is by declaring God's word by faith. When you say things like, 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 my right hand, but it ain't going to come near me. When you say that in faith and believe it, angels are activated on your behalf to bring it about. Psalm 103 verse 20 says, "Bless the Lord, you his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening." Come on. Unto what? And where does the voice of his word come from? Your voice. You speaking it in faith. You declaring it. In faith, you speaking it. Then the angels say, yeah, we can bring that to pass. We serve him. We're here to minister to him. Hebrews 1:14, angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to the heirs of salvation. That's us. And notice it says in that scripture, if you look very closely in your Bible, Hebrews 1:14, they are sent to minister for, not minister to. They're ministering for the heirs of salvation, us. In other words, they're waiting on us to speak the word. Oh, come on. They're waiting on you to speak the word into your situation. They're waiting on you to declare you have supernatural protection. They're waiting on you to say, 1,000 may fall at my side and 10, but it ain't going to come in my house and no plague going to come. They're waiting on you. They hearken to the voice of his word out of your mouth. That's powerful. You got a whole army waiting on you to do something. Speak. Pray for your eyes to be open, that you see more than just the natural realm. You may never see angels physically, and that's not important. Scripture tells you they're there. That's all you need to know. Amen. Our confidence is not in what we see, but what God's word says. If he says it, it is so. Amen? And even when you have a disappointment come in your life, stay in faith. Even when something happens in your life, it may turn out to be for your best interest. It may turn out to be for your protection that something didn't happen. Your vacation got canceled. Your plans got ruined. It may turn out to be for your protection. Amen. Well, amen or oh me. Amen. Let's stand up. There's a confession list I wrote out for us. Let's say this out loud together. It's a prayer. Say it with me. Lord, I ask you to open my eyes to see that there are more of your angels for me than demons against me. When I speak your word in faith, angels are activated on my behalf. Thank you for sending angels, ministering angels, to help me. Thank you for the times you sent angels to protect me, and I was unaware of them. Help me to walk in greater confidence and awareness that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. You have given your angels charge over me to keep me in all your ways. I am supernaturally protected. Your angels are with me wherever I go. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Rejoice that you are supernaturally protected. Now, activate your angels through worship and through speaking God's word in faith. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped you move closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-352-352. 888-748-3255 or visit us on the web at gracetab.org. Have a blessed day.